This is continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage.
Continuous coverage. In the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill from the Hidden Killers podcast.
Hidden Killers podcast.
That it is as we wait on the jury's verdict here on the 11th of May, 2023. We're now about to hear the closing arguments through several segments. This is the prosecution presenting their closing arguments in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybill. Let's listen.
All right, at this time we'll have closing arguments. Mr. Wood for the state.
Money, power, and sex. Beginning in October of 2018, Lori Vallow and Chad Daybill set in motion a series of events that led to three horrific murders in the state of Idaho. Along their way, they quickly recruited and groomed her brother Alex Cox to participate in their multiple conspiracies. Each of these conspiracies as part of a larger plan for Chad and Lori to be together, unencumbered and free of obstacles. This plan was driven by Lori Vallow's desire for and use of money, power, and sex. And this plan that she set in motion must end today in the verdicts you render in this trial. Idaho murder number one, Tylee Ryan. Tylee was Lori Vallow's 16-year-old vibrant daughter. She had a whole life ahead of her. Tylee was murdered between September 8th and September 9th, 2019. Lori Vallow was responsible for Tylee's health and safety, but instead of protecting her, Lori Vallow, Chad Daybill, and Alex Cox conspired to murder her. Acting together, they caused her death. Tylee's body was burned beyond recognition. Her body was dismembered in such a grotesque and extreme manner that the medical examiner had to determine the cause of death as homicide by unspecified or unknown means. She was burned and buried in Chad Daybill's backyard on September 9th, 2019. What was left of her body, they dumped in a green bucket and buried in a pet cemetery on top of a piece of her skull. Tylee was gone and buried and out of the way, but Lori Vallow kept collecting Tylee's money. Tylee Ryan had been receiving Social Security benefits from the death of her father, and Lori personally took steps to make sure that she kept receiving that money after Tylee was murdered. Lori never reported that Tylee was missing or dead. Not only did she not report it, she lied to multiple people about Tylee's location and whereabouts, including to the police. She had to keep her body hidden so she could keep getting the money. Idaho murder number two. Between September 22nd and 23rd, 2019, J.J. Vallow's voice was silenced forever by a strip of duct tape placed across his mouth. A white plastic bag was placed over his head, where it was secured tightly with duct tape being wrapped around and around from his forehead to his neck. The evidence shows he struggled, and we'll never know how long he fought before they bound his wrists, his forearms, and his ankles with duct tape. That white bag that was placed over his head, that was duct taped over his head, cut off his airways. So he stopped breathing. His heart stopped beating, and he died. It was a brutal, horrific murder of a 7-year-old boy with special needs. A 7-year-old boy with special needs. JJ's body was placed in a black plastic and buried like a piece of trash in Chad Daybell's backyard. In a shallow, but well-prepared and precise grave. Just like Tylee, JJ was the recipient of Social Security benefits from the death of his father, Charles Vallow. Just like Tylee, Lori never reported that JJ was missing or dead. Why? He had to remain hidden so she could keep receiving the money. Not only did she not report, she lied to multiple people about his location. She even asked a friend, Melanie Gibb, to lie to the police about JJ's location, and further asked her to falsify evidence of his location. Just like Tylee, after JJ was murdered, she kept collecting the money. Idaho murder number 3. Between the night of October 19th and the morning of October 20th, or between the night of October 18th and October 20th, 2019, Tammy Daybell, a loving, active, healthy 49-year-old mother of five, and a school librarian, was murdered in her own home. She was asphyxiated in her own home. The evidence is clear that Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell, and Alex Cox conspired to murder Tammy. Acting together, they caused her death. Her death occurred just a little over a week after a masked gunman had attempted to shoot her. She entered her home after a night of church activities. When their first plan didn't work, they formed a second plan, and she was asphyxiated. Lori was conveniently gone for both the attempted murder and the successful murder. She was conveniently out of the state. Those trips were not coincidences. And just like Tylee and JJ, there was money to be gained from Tammy's death. $430,000 worth of life insurance. And Lori wasted no time in making sure she could benefit from that money. A mere 2.5 weeks after Tammy Daybell died on November 5th, 2019, Lori Vallow married Chad Daybell on a beach in Hawaii. So less than 2 months after Tylee and JJ are murdered, and within weeks of Tammy's murder, Lori and Chad are on a beach, in the words of her sister, dancing on a beach in Hawaii. Free from the obstacles that were Tylee, JJ, and Tammy, but living with the money that was gained from each of their deaths. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to quickly talk to you about the timeline of this case. The timeline tells the truth, and Lori Vallow is convicted by the timeline she created. She meets Chad in October of 2018. You have seen plenty of evidence of the affair that took place after they met. July 11th, 2019, Lori's brother, Alex, shoots and kills Charles Vallow, Lori's husband. September 8th and 9th, Tylee Ryan, Lori Vallow's daughter, is killed. September 22nd to 23rd, JJ Vallow, her son, is killed. October 19th, 2019, Tammy Daybell is killed. These are not coincidences, and there is one common thread through these murders. Lori Vallow. She is the one person who ties these all together. You heard about the investigation and how it got started. Looking for a Jeep that was used in an attempted shooting at Brandon Boudreau on October 2nd. You heard about Chad and the life insurance. They're married November 5th. You heard about how the Rexburg police got a call looking for JJ towards the end of November. And that kicks off the investigation looking for JJ and Tylee. How they searched the apartments. And how finally, through their investigation, the bodies of Tylee Ryan and JJ Vallow were found on June 9th. Tammy's body was exhumed on December 11th. Alex Cox died December 12th. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to speak with you about the law a little bit. And the judge already read it to you. And I'm not going to go through and read it to you again, but there's some things that are important to point out. And so in the jury instructions, you have them, you don't need to turn to them, but as you go back and deliberate, there's things we want you to think about. In jury instruction number 28, which is the elements you need to find to establish that Lori Vallow is guilty of conspiracy to commit murder and grand theft against Tylee Ryan. Some of those things are easy. The dates, the state of Idaho, those are incontrovertible. Conspiracy comes down to, this is a crime of agreement. Did Lori agree to have Tylee killed and to steal that money? Did she intend for those events to actually happen? And did someone, any of the conspirators, perform an overt act in furtherance of that agreement? Now, as you read the jury instructions and you read over the overt acts, it'll be number 6 in your instruction. It is that one of the parties to the agreement performed at least one of the following acts. So when it comes to conspiracy, what you need to ask yourself, who murdered these people? Did Lori conspire for these murders and for these thefts? Did she intend for it to happen? And was one of these overt acts accomplished in furtherance of the conspiracy? As it says, you only need to find one overt act. The state has met its burden for each of the overt acts. You only need to find one. Turning to jury instruction number 29, which is the actual murder of Tylee Ryan. Because we want to differentiate, there's the crime of conspiracy to murder, which is crime of agreement, and the actual murder. And what you need to ask yourselves, again, on or about certain dates in the state of Idaho, that's incontrovertible. What you need to ask yourself, who killed Tylee Ryan? And did Lori aid, abet, advise, or counsel that murder? Did she encourage that murder? You remember in voir dire when you were all asked and you all raised your hand about the question, someone is proven to have aided or abetted, could you still find them guilty? Under the law, if you find that Lori aided, abetted, advised, or counseled, you must find her guilty. Jury instruction 29 is the conspiracy for JJ. You need to go over those same questions. Who killed him? Did Lori conspire to that? Did she agree to JJ being killed? Did she intend for it to happen? And did one of those overt acts happen in furtherance of that agreement? 31 is the murder of JJ. Again, remember to separate the crimes of conspiracy from the crime of murder. Instruction 32 is the conspiracy on Tammy. Again, who killed her? Did Lori agree to it? Was there an overt act taken in furtherance of that? And the final, instruction 34, the grand theft. To find her guilty, you need to find that she deprived the United States of money that belonged to them and not her. You can find it by two ways, that she deceived them or that she just intended to keep the money. That's a summary of the jury instructions, ladies and gentlemen. When you go back to deliberate, read them carefully. And as you do, you will find that the state has met its burden of proving these elements, each and every one of them, beyond a reasonable doubt. A few things to consider. This is just a portion of the definition of reasonable doubt taken directly out of your jury instruction. Follow the jury instruction. Read the whole jury instruction. But I want to point out, a reasonable doubt is not a mere possible or imaginary doubt. It's not something you make up. It's a doubt based on reason and common sense. Reason and common sense. So ladies and gentlemen, as you go back and deliberate, and you consider these elements, and you consider these crimes that were committed, use your reason and your common sense. Malice. It's one of those words that may mean something out in the normal world, and in court may mean something a little bit different. Follow the jury instruction. Malice can be express, where someone says they want this to happen. It can be implied. You will find express and implied malice in this case. There is an abundance of malice. Aiding and abetting, again, already went over this, but any person who aids and abets, who assists, facilitates, promotes, or encourages a crime to happen, is just as guilty as anyone else involved in the crime. Aiding and abetting is just the same as pulling the trigger. Overt acts. As I mentioned, you need to find on a conspiracy that at least one overt act was committed. You need to find at least one overt act beyond a reasonable doubt. In your jury instructions, there's a list, and we're going to go over them in a second. You need to find that one of those acts was done for the purpose of carrying out the agreement. Overt acts do not need to be, in and of themselves, illegal. Remember that. They don't need to be illegal. But if it's an act done in furtherance of the conspiracy, then it is an overt act and makes it a part of the crime. Let's quickly go through the overt acts. We're not going to discuss them a lot. That's for you to do when you get back in deliberations. But in regards to Tylee, JJ, and Tammy, Lori is charged with endorsing and espousing religious beliefs for the purpose of encouraging and or justifying murder. To be clear, no one here has been charged because of their religious beliefs. They are charged for using those beliefs for the purpose of justifying murder. In terms of Tylee, Lori Vallow, on or around August 16, 2019, changed the deposit for the Social Security benefits to go from Tylee's J.P. Morgan account to Lori's personal BBVA account. You saw that evidence. In regards to the conspiracies on Tylee, JJ, and Tammy, Lori Vallow, along with Alex Cox, Tylee Ryan, and Joshua Jackson Vallow, JJ Vallow, moved from Arizona to Rexburg. Why is that important? Why is that an overt act? They couldn't kill the kids in Arizona, where they had friends and family. Moving to Rexburg was the catalyst for these murders. They had to hide Tylee and JJ. They had to go somewhere where nobody knew them. So moving to Rexburg furthered the conspiracy to kill Tylee and JJ, and it brought Alex Cox to where he could kill and help kill Tammy Daybell. In regards to Tylee's conspiracy, Chad Daybell Googled south-southwest wind and visited the website, what's the definition of south-southwest wind? In regards to Tylee, you heard evidence that in the early morning hours of September 9th, Alex Cox went to 565 Pioneer Road, apartment 175. That was Lori's apartment. Also in regards to Tylee, that Lori failed or refused to contact Social Security to let them know of Tylee's death, and that she continued to wrongfully collect those Social Security benefits. In regards to JJ, on September 23rd, Alex Cox took JJ. He took custody of him. Also in regards to JJ, November 26, 2019, Lori Vallow provided a false and or misleading physical location of JJ to the police. You saw that on video. Also in regards to JJ, September 20th through the 19th, that she failed or refused to contact Social Security to inform them of JJ's death. Why? To further the conspiracy of grand theft, to keep the money. And that she continued to collect that money, furthering the conspiracy. In regards to the conspiracy to murder Tammy, again, Chad Daybell and Lori Vallow espoused or endorsed religious beliefs for the purpose of justifying Tammy's homicide. September 1, 2019, again, they moved to Rexburg. I've already spoken about that. There were text messages in regards to the conspiracy for Tammy between Chad and Lori regarding death percentages for Tammy and JJ, July 30th, 2019. Chad Daybell obtained a burner phone on September 18th, 2019. Alex Cox obtained a burner phone October 9th, 2019. All these steps taken to further their conspiracy. Further on Tammy, text messages between Chad and Lori about Tammy being in limbo and Tammy being possessed by a spirit. In regards to Tammy, Chad co-signed a life insurance policy increasing the amount of insurance he would get upon her death. On October 9th, Alex Cox attempted to shoot Tammy. Between October 8th and October 12th, Alex Cox conducted multiple internet searches related to Grendel Drop, related to a Dodge Dakota, all in furtherance of the conspiracy to kill Tammy. He goes to gun ranges in furtherance of the conspiracy. He went to Sportsman's Warehouse. You saw what he bought there. And then on the night that Tammy died, Alex Cox goes to a church parking lot just about 2.5 miles south of Chad Daybell's house. These are all overt acts. Things done to further the conspiracy. Steps taken to get to murder. Let's talk about some of the digital evidence you've seen in this case. You've heard evidence from homerjmaximus@gmail.com, chad.daybell@gmail.com, lollytimeforever@gmail.com, other phone data, and iCloud accounts. Let's look now, as we're thinking about these overt acts and the steps taken for murder. What was Alex Cox Googling? On October 1st, the day before Brandon Boudreau was shot at, he Googles Brandon Boudreau's address. October 8th, the day before Tammy is shot at, he Googles drop from 100 yards to 300 yards. He's figuring out how to sight in his rifle. October 10th, after the failed shooting, in what you heard from the Gilberts, Todd and Alice Gilbert, was an unseasonably cold October. How to prep your AR for the cold. AR-15 cold weather operation. How to help your AR load in the cold. FBI simulation shooting a 5.56 through car doors and walls. Then, 2008 Dodge Dakota still body thickness. You heard testimony Tammy and Chad had. It was a 2004 Dodge Dakota. But he's figuring out shooting the still body thickness just the day after he messed up his first attempt on Tammy's life. How to drill baffles to make a suppressor. Chad Daybell. Talking about Overdax again. September 8th, he searched south-southwest wind and visited. What is the definition of south-southwest wind direction? Why? Because the next day, he knows he will be burning Tylee Ryan in his fire pit, and he needs to know which way the wind will be blowing. You heard testimony of the officers who searched that account. This is the only time he searches wind direction. The only time. Lori, on lollytimeforever at gmail.com, 8/25/2019. She's searching wedding bands made of malachite. Tammy's not dead yet. They've gotten rid of Charles, but Tammy is still alive, and she's already searching for wedding rings. 9/30/2019, a couple of days before Brandon Boudreau was shot at from the back of a Jeep Wrangler. How to take the back seat out of my Jeep Wrangler. October 22nd, 2019, the day that Tammy Daybell is being buried. What is Lori doing? She's looking up wedding dresses in Kauai. Her boyfriend's wife is being buried that day, and she's already looking for wedding dresses. Let's talk about Tammy Daybell's phone and the text that was recovered from that phone. September 9th, 2019, at 11:53 a.m., Chad Daybell places himself in his own backyard, and he says, well, to Tammy, well, I've had an interesting morning. I felt I should burn all of the limb debris by the fire pit before it got too soaked by the coming storms. While I did so, I spotted a big raccoon along the fence. I hurried and got my gun, and he was still walking along. I got close enough that one shot did the trick. He is now in our pet cemetery. Fun times. This text is where Chad Daybell told us where to locate Tylee Ryan. This text is where Chad Daybell told us he burnt her limbs. This text was further suspicious. Raccoons in daylight. It's not impossible, but they're nocturnal. And then he buries it in his pet cemetery. You saw the satellite footage of later in the day of September 9th. The disturbance in the ground near the pet cemetery. The day after Tylee Ryan is last seen in Yellowstone National Park. She's never seen again. But she turned up in that pet cemetery that Chad Daybell was talking about that day. He told law enforcement where to find her. There are patterns that emerge through the digital evidence and through these iCloud accounts about Chad and Lori's affair. You've read and you'll have back in deliberations the James and Elena story, their future together. This was all a plan. Like I said at the beginning, a plan for them to be together without obstacles. Obstacles is the word they used. You learn about the relationship between Chad and Lori and Alex, and how Lori is the conduit of information to Alex. How he does, Alex does what Lori tells him. the plan to remove obstacles. And those obstacles are Tylee Ryan, J.J. Vallo, and their spouses, Charles Vallo and Tammy Daybell. And you also start seeing the need for money, how this revolves around money. I'm going to remind you about Colby Ryan's testimony, her son's own testimony, that every 2 to 3 months, Lori would tell him, we're out of money. So it was a concern for her. In terms of the digital evidence, one of the overt acts is that on September 9th, Alex Cox went to Lori's apartment. You see here, September 9th, from 2:42 a.m. in the morning to 3:37 a.m. in the morning, Alex Cox goes to Lori's apartment. Why is that significant? September 8th, the last known sighting of Tylee Ryan. September 9th, she's buried in Chad Daybell's backyard. That morning, there's a phone call between Chad Daybell and Alex Cox. It's a 3-minute phone call at 8:11 a.m. By 8:49, Alex Cox is moving. We can track him by his phone. And at 9:15, he's just south of Chad Daybell's residence. These are the hits on GPS on Alex's phone on September 9th. From 9:21 to 10:57. Here's the burn pit that Tylee was burned in. Here's Alex's GPS hits right by where Tylee's buried, feet away. Another hit at the gate coming in. Again, within the same time frame as the text from Chad to Tammy about the raccoon. An overt act taken to further the conspiracy of the murder of Tylee Ryan and to keep stealing her money. At 11:47, Alex is just north of Chad Daybell's residence and heading south. They've done the deed. They've burnt Tylee. They've dismembered her, and they've buried her. And then that same day, phone calls. You saw the full cast report, and you have it to go, and I encourage you in deliberations to go look at it. Chad calls Lori for 3 minutes at 11:45 as Alex is leaving. September 23rd. Before we look at this, let's talk about the testimony you heard about September 23rd. Melanie Gibb and David Warwick spent the weekend of September 22nd and 23rd with Lori Vallo in her apartment. Lori tells Melanie, JJ is a zombie. He's acting totally different. Using a religious belief to justify his death. An overt act. On the morning of the 23rd, David Warwick inquires of Lori, where's JJ? She tells him that he's been climbing up the cabinets and the refrigerator. So she sent him with Alex Cox. An overt act. Alex Cox took possession and custody of JJ that morning. We can see from 9:01 to 9:41, Alex is in his apartment on September 23rd. There's a phone call, a 38-second phone call from Chad Daybell to Alex Cox that morning. 38 seconds at 9:25. By 9:45, Alex is again on his way to Chad Daybell's house, this time with J.J. Vallo in tow. September 23rd, Here's Alex's phone. Mere feet from where JJ was buried. Last known sighting of JJ, September 22nd. He was never seen again. No matter how many tips the police followed up on, they never found him. They never found Tylee until they found him here, where Alex's phone was being hit by GPS. He shows up. The first is at 9:55. At 10:12, he appears to be leaving on a Wi-Fi hit. So about 17 minutes. That grave was not dug in 17 minutes. That grave was too precise. It was too well prepared. This was planned. This was premeditated murder. Lori encouraged it. She aided it. She handed her boy off to Alex Cox. And then Alex Cox, at 10:12, heads back south to Rexburg. There's a lot of electronic devices in this case. You heard about a lot of electronic devices. This one is significant. Chad Daybell, on October 9th, activates a new phone. In a text to Lori from his old phone number, his normal phone number, he says, "I will call right now from a 401 number." That was at 10:26. Oops, went the wrong way. 10:27. He's calling from the new 401 number. Let's talk about the digital evidence on October 9th, the day Tammy was shot at. Alex, from 12 to 1:23 p.m., he's at his sister's house. You saw the evidence. He goes to Sportsman's Warehouse. You saw what he bought, the black mask, the mittens, the black pants. That afternoon, this is one of the overt acts. He goes up and travels by Chad Daybell's residence. You can follow his phone. As he scopes out the property again. And then he drives back past it. And then you remember seeing the evidence that his phone that night stayed at his apartment. Here's some of the digital data from that day. 6 texts between Chad and Lori, between 5:28 and 7:03. Between 7:13 and 8:43, 15 texts between Alex and Chad. Again, ask yourself, what ties Alex to Chad? Lori Vallow. You remember Zulema Pastena's testimony that night, about that night. She hears Lori get off of a phone call and angrily proclaim, "He can't do anything right." Because he failed. He failed when he tried to kill Tammy that night. October 18th, the night of the successful murder. Between 10:05 p.m. and 10:07, Alex Cox is traveling north. From 10:07 to 10:45, his phone is tracked at the Salem Church. This is just approximately 2.5 miles south of Chad Daybell's house. This is the night Tammy dies. This is the night Tammy was murdered. And you see some of the digital activity. 10 text messages between Alex and Chad between 10:23 and 10:54. At 11:28, an image is deleted off of Tammy's phone. 11:34 to 11:35, Chad sends 2 texts to Lori. 11:46, Alex leaves the parking lot. 11:53 to 12:09, Alex calls Lori. Remember where Lori is. She's in Hawaii. On purpose, not a coincidence. And here's that call from Alex to Lori. And here's her receiving it in Hawaii. Let's talk about the crime scene. Chad Daybell's residence. Reason this isn't coming through. You've seen this exhibit. You have all the pictures of this exhibit. I encourage you to take them back in deliberations and look at them. Upon discovering the raccoon text, upon reviewing Alex Cox's digital data, law enforcement serves a warrant June 9th, 2020 on Chad Daybell's residence. You remember multiple officers testifying to you of watching Chad Daybell in that front yard, sitting in his car, nervously looking over his shoulder to the location where Tylee was buried. You heard a phone call that morning from Chad and Lori that was recorded. They're searching the property. And you can hear the fear and the guilt in both of their voices. They know what's about to happen. On that crime scene, the fire pit. This is how it was found by law enforcement that day. And you heard testimony, how they removed the debris. They raked it. They sifted that ground, and they found pieces of Tylee Ryan in that fire pit. They found this chain in that fire pit. They found this charm. That's also located on State's Exhibit 6, being worn by Tylee Ryan. Just approximately 30 feet from that fire pit. And the Pet Cemetery. Again, you saw satellite footage that same day of the disturbance in the ground. You saw how law enforcement, they started their search. They found a dog and a cat. They moved north. They found what they thought might be a human bone. And they continued to dig. And this is what they found. This is what was left of Tylee Ryan. Charred flesh, dismembered. They came back the next day and found this bucket. You heard the testimony of multiple officers talk about how it felt like this ground had concrete or quickcrete in it. It was hard, and they had to finally use the backhoe to pull it off to get to this bucket. And when they finally did, they found this material that was Tylee Ryan. And again, sitting on top of a piece of her skull. That's not the only place they found Tylee Ryan that day, though. They also found pieces of her here, in the shed. You heard how law enforcement searched the shed for tools that could be used in the commission of these crimes. These shovels, this pickaxe, were of particular interest to them. You heard testimony of this pickaxe, how it was taken to the Idaho State Lab. How in the eye of that pickaxe, there was material that looked different than the dirt. So it was separated out. It was tested for DNA. It was tested against a profile of Tylee. And it was Tylee in the eye of the pickaxe. This shovel You heard how on the back of this kick, the kick plate of that shovel, there was a piece of material that looked like it could be organic material. Again, it was tested for DNA, and it matched to Tylee Ryan. There was blood on the handle, tested, and it matched for Tylee Ryan. You heard testimony of how Agent Doug Hart was the first person to find this piece of ground, a mound. The vegetation was lower. You heard how he'd had training to find clandestine graves. You heard how he put his hand on the ground and felt the seam of the sod that had been removed, that he tried to probe it, and his probe wouldn't go through. And why? Because they found this, meticulously placed rocks and boards. You heard the testimony of multiple officers about the smell emanating. And they began to see what they thought was a human head. They checked it. There was human hair. Look at this grave. The roots are cut. It's just the right size for J.J. Vallow. This was prepared in advance. This was a premeditated murder. The dig was dug. J.J. was murdered. You heard testimony again. Lori Vallow handed J.J. off to Alex Cox. Tylee, JJ, and Tammy can't tell us what happened, but their bodies do. You heard testimony about the testing that was done on Tylee. One, they had to do DNA testing just to identify her because she was too broken up and too dismembered. You heard Dr. Christensen and Mr. Halapaska talk about puncture wounds in her pelvis, how those wounds were not the wounds of dismemberment. They're separate wounds in her pelvis. J.J. Vallow, gagged and bound. Tammy's body, bruises consistent with restraint, homicide by asphyxiation. This is Tylee. Here are the marks talked about by Dr. Christensen and Mr. Halapaska. That's not where she's being dismembered. Mr. Halapaska said those marks are consistent with stabbing. The white bag over JJ's face, the duct tape that blocked his airway. We know how he died. He was asphyxiated. He was bound with duct tape. A 7-year-old boy with special needs. Tammy's autopsy. You heard from the medical examiner for the state of Utah. She was exhumed. You heard about the extensive toxicology they did. They found nothing. They found nothing in her that would have killed her. Her internals were healthy. Her brain was normal. There was nothing in her body that would have killed her. She had bruises on her arms. Remember, JJ had bruises on his arms, too. She had bruises on her arms that the ME stated were consistent with restraint. She was murdered by asphyxiation. We told you this was about money, power, and sex. We talked a lot about religion, but this is not a case about religion. It's about money, and power and sex. Let's talk about the money for a minute. Lori learned a lesson with Charles Vallo. The lesson she learned was to make sure you get the money coming to you before you commit the murder. She thought she was going to get the insurance money. She texted Chad about it. I talked to the insurance company. He changed it in March. So it was probably Ned. Remember, Ned was one of the other names for Charles before we got rid of him. I'll still get the $4,000 a month. So within a week of killing Charles Vallo, she's already talking about the Social Security she's going to get. It was planned. Tylee Ryan's Social Security. Tylee Ryan started collecting Social Security in June of 2018 when her father died. She collected it monthly. On July 11th, Charles Vallo dies. August 12th through the 20th, I believe the date was August 16th, Lori Vallo changes the deposit on Tylee's Social Security. Tylee was receiving her own money. You heard testimony about her spending habits. She was paying for her Jeep. She bought fast food. She lived like a normal teenager. And then Lori takes that money and starts putting it into her own BBVA account. Because she learned her lesson. She gets the payment on August 28th. September 8th, Tylee dies. She made sure to get the money before she killed Tylee. J.J. Vallo. He collects Social Security after Charles Vallo dies. He collects it as a survivor, and she collects it as a parent in care of a survivor. Again, get the money and then commit the murder. Last proof of life for J.J. is 9-12. Well, the first deposit, September 18th, 2019, days later, JJ is dead and murdered and buried in Chad Daybell's backyard. She made sure to get the money first. She collected multiple payments. By the way, while we're here, let's talk about grand theft. What do you need to find her guilty of grand theft? That she either used deceit to take money that did not belong to her, or that with the intent to possess that money, she took money that did not belong to her. After this date, she has no right to any of this money. She failed to report. What's the amount you need to find for grand theft? It's $1,000. Ladies and gentlemen, if you find between any of these payments and any of these payments that Lori Vallo collected $1,000 she was not entitled to with the intent to keep it, you must find her guilty of grand theft. There are the benefits of murder. She thought she was getting $1 million from life insurance from Charles. Chad got $430,000 in life insurance from Tammy. From Tylee, she began to collect $1,859 per month in Social Security into her own account. From JJ, $1,951, and as her parent in care, $1,951. Remember Zulima Pastena's testimony when she asked Lori how they were going to finance this gathering that she kept talking about. She said, Melanie Boudreaux will take care of us all. Brandon Boudreaux was shot at. Brandon Boudreaux had a life insurance policy. Money is the motive for murder. Power. Let's talk about religion for 1 second, because we've heard a lot about religion. It does not matter what they believed. It matters what they did. They can believe whatever they want, but when they use that to justify homicide, that changes. They used religion as a tool to manipulate others. Lori manipulated Alex Cox through religion. She manipulated Chad through emotional and sexual control. They manipulated their friends through this use of religion. Let's talk about how she groomed Alex Cox. Ladies and gentlemen, you have multiple iCloud conversations in evidence that you can review in deliberations. I encourage you to do so. I'm not going to read everything here, but let's look at some of the things Lori said. March 20th, she says to Alex, I'm finding out some great stuff about you. I learned about you. You're going to like it. We can talk about it. How does he respond? Okay, hurry, please. He's eager for the knowledge. She says, we can talk about it tomorrow, hopefully. They move to Rexburg. He's going to go sight in his rifles. Fun. You need the practice. Lori Vallow is telling Alex Cox what to do. In these messages, you never see Alex tell her what to do. He's telling her what to do. She's telling him what to do. They have a conversation about JJ and a boy named Zach. And he says, my lips are sealed. How does she respond? Good boy. Learning more. I'll fill you in the afternoon. Again, she's the conduit of information to Alex. Remember what Alex's wife, Zulema Pastena, said. He believed all of it. Where does he get it? He gets it from Lori. Why does she give it to him? To justify murder. You heard from Zulema Pastenes. You heard from Melanie Gibb the description about castings, these descriptions of light and dark scales. You heard a lot about it. The only reason it matters is because it's the tool they used to manipulate others. They used it to manipulate Melanie Boudreau. They used it to manipulate Zulema, Melanie Gibb, Alex Cox. Again, who is the common thread here? It's Lori Vallow. We talked about sex in this case, how it was a motive, their affair, how they had to remove obstacles so they could be together. Those conversations often turn sexual. Always talking about their future together, their plan to be together. A conversation on July 14th between Chad and Lori, where he wants to kiss her for hours, and it would likely lead to other activities. And she says, likely or luckily? Luckily lead to nakedness. Again, their conversations. He's saying she's incredible. Their mission has barely begun. Her mission has barely begun. As long as it ends with you, it's all good. Wish I could see with you and be cheek to cheek. Lori uses sex to manipulate Chad. And Chad seeks confirmation from Lori repeatedly. July 13th, he's having a conversation with her about when they can spend time together and about Tammy's passing. And at the end, what does he say? Please ask about that. He's asking her to confirm. Why? Because Lori and Chad are driving this together. It's their plan to be together, to get rid of the obstacles. Chad tells Lori that he's been instructed to focus his efforts on Hillary, who you heard from testimony in other places in the iCloud is established as Tylee Ryan. What does Lori say? She doesn't say, you know what, maybe we shouldn't kill my kids. She says, okay, find out her percentage for me and JJ's. And when Chad talks about Tylee's low death percentage, meaning she's close to death, and how JJ needs to follow Amy into the light, ladies and gentlemen, we all know what it means to go into the light. He's talking about a young boy's death. And he assures JJ that Chad would be there. James would love and take care of his mommy. Because JJ's going to be gone, because he's followed someone in the light. And how does she respond? Again, She doesn't say, maybe we shouldn't kill my kids. That is sweet. I miss you desperately. She wants these children gone. There is no doubt. She wants these children gone. She is encouraging their murder. July 23rd. She asked, Chad, need you to check JJ. When you get home, check Tylee. She's being super sweet and helpful. And she cleaned a room. She got switched. Totally not her. See if she got switched. Again, they're using this religion, even amongst themselves, to justify murder. And she's encouraging it. This isn't fantasy. Those children were found in real life, dead, in Chad Daybell's backyard. Again, 7/26/2019. In response to a text from Chad, need you to check JJ. She said he was calm and he watched movies all day, which he would never do. Justification for murder. This isn't JJ. Justification. She's encouraging. She's aiding. This text removes any doubt that they are talking about murder. From Chad to Lori, 7/30/2019. I got the inspiration to go back to my original death percentages that helped us track Charles. Not me, us. Charles, Ned, etc. What happened to Charles? Charles got shot in the chest by Alex Cox. Tammy is very close. So after he's talking about death percentages to track Charles, Tammy is close. They are talking about murdering Tammy. Her percentage has fallen. It is encouraging. And how does she respond? What is the percentage now? And then, what about JJ's too? So on July 30th, she's already planning for JJ to go the same way as Charles, to be murdered. Chad responds, Tammy is at 3, JJ is at 2. Both are being heavily shielded to stop intruders. And what does she say? She doesn't say, maybe we shouldn't kill children. She says, 2 and 3%, not zero. She wants the children gone. He says he'll explain when they talk. And this is sexual manipulation. Okay, still feeling hot for you. He's telling her what she wants to hear. She reinforces him with sexual behavior. Again, this is in the iCloud. I encourage you to go look at it. Here, it's a continuation of that conversation. Yes, we might need to release a little steam when we talk. Anyway, this is the chart that checks what percentage mortals are still in their body. It worked for my wife's friend who died, a real person. My neighbor, a real person. George Bush, Stanley, real people. This isn't fantasy. They're talking about the deaths of real people. This afternoon, Tammy said she felt lightheaded, as if her body and spirit weren't connected. They're talking about Tammy's death. Again, Lori. This is at Lori's initiation. Please check JJ. She's asking him to check for these death percentages. He says JJ is still JJ. Is he at zero yet? August 10th. 6 weeks later, he's dead. August 10th. Is he at zero? She can't wait. Yes, he's at zero. He probably was partly through the veil. Ladies and gentlemen, there is no question what they're talking about. The veil of life and death. They are talking about the death of JJ Vallow. August 10th. Again, Lori initiating this conversation. Do you think there is a perfectly orchestrated plan to take the children and we just have to wait for it to be carried out? I feel lost, like I should be doing something to help. Not, I think we shouldn't kill the children. I should be doing something to help for the children to be taken. And Chad tells her there's a plan. What should I be doing? What do I need to do to make this happen? That's what Lori's asking. And he tells her she's doing everything right. He said to just keep resolving the telestial issues so you are unencumbered and fully free. Unencumbered by your children, fully free. Think about the money. Think about how Lori would talk about JJ. She saw him as difficult. The same conversation. Chad expresses his love, and Lori says, I can't wait. Literally can't wait. I have no patience. I want you now. Again, she's using sex to reinforce. Chad's telling her what she wants to hear. There's a plan to get rid of these kids. She reinforces him. The next day, Lori says to Chad, I'm so alone without you. It's devastating. He says, we are surrounded by celestial relatives that are simply obstacles. I'm so sick of it. Again, she doesn't say, maybe we shouldn't kill our relatives. Me too. What is it that you really want? Never a hesitation. She wants to move forward with this plan. They move to Rexburg. Alex Cox sends Lori a text about setting up their Wi-Fi. The password, too many kids. Too many kids. And she says, funny. It would be funny if her children were alive and just rambunctious and hard to deal with. But that's not what it meant. Her children are dead. There were too many kids, and they had to get rid of them. And he says, I can change the password. And she says, we are trying to get to the bottom of what we need to do to eliminate them completely. He mentioned Z's or zombies in the text above. And then again, I'm sure you will be told also, manipulation of Alex Cox with religion. I will provide you this information in the future. Four days before Tammy is shot at. Big news about Tammy. Please let me know if you're awake and can talk. I love you. Chad goes into this conversation about Tammy being in limbo. There's a demonic entity in her. He goes on and on. And then what does he say? Please seek a confirmation on this. Why is that important? Because Chad's not going to act without Lori saying so. Seek a confirmation. Not fully sure of the timing for removal, but once her actions verify the differences, I don't want to wait. And he's asking Lori for confirmation on that. Interestingly enough, 2 days after that conversation, Lori texts Melanie Boudreau, I'm really feeling like we need to go to Missouri and work. They go to Missouri. They fly out of Phoenix the morning of the 9th, head to Missouri. So she's gone at the attempted shooting. So she can try to separate herself from the attempted shooting. Melanie asks her some questions about the kids and about the logistics. Lori says, tells her, you need to be unavailable. That's the schedule. And how does Melanie respond? Okay, Captain. Why does she say okay, Captain? Because Lori's in charge. The day of Tammy Daybell's death, she's texting Chad, not fun without you. His wife just died. She didn't just die, she was murdered. And that's why she feels comfortable texting him like this. The next day, she says to him, I'm missing you more. I need you desperately. I can't wait. That same day, he texts her about the Lily workout plan. Remember, Lily is another name for Lori. This is her workout plan for him to get in shape. She says, I love that plan. Not soon enough, though. This is torture. She's moving this along. She's moved this plan along the whole time. Again, just more love texts between Chad and Lori. Ladies and gentlemen, you have your instructions. You're going to go back and you're going to deliberate. Read them carefully. Consider all the evidence. Look at all the facts. Look at the timeline. Look at the timeline. Charles Vallow, Tylee Ryan, JJ, Tammy. All within a short time frame. How are they tied together? Who could have killed those people? You have Lori Vallow, Chad Daybell, Alex Cox. Who had motive to kill those people? Lori Vallow and Chad Daybell. What is the thread between Alex Cox and Chad Daybell? Lori Vallow. Who benefits from these murders? Lori Vallow gets Tylee's money. She gets JJ's money. She and Chad get Tammy's money. Ladies and gentlemen, the burden is beyond a reasonable doubt. A doubt based on reason and common sense. What does your reason and common sense tell you? You've seen what happened to her children. What happened to Tammy? She never reported the children missing. She lied and she lied and she lied about where they were. And while she lied, she kept collecting the money. You saw the text between her and Chad. She is moving this plan forward. That's part of what, that's why they moved to Rexburg. She's moving this plan forward. There is no question that Tylee Ryan, JJ Vallow, and Tammy Daybell were murdered. Who is the common thread? Lori Vallow. What does justice for these victims require? It requires a conviction of each and every count. She conspired for Tylee to die and to keep her money. She conspired for JJ to die and to keep his money. She aided and abetted in Tylee's murder. She encouraged it. She aided and abetted and encouraged JJ's murder. She aided and abetted and encouraged, or she conspired. Let me repeat that. She conspired and agreed to Tammy Daybell's murder. Look at the timeline. Ladies and gentlemen, go back through the elements. Go back through the evidence. And you must convict her.
That's the latest in the trial of Lori Vallow Daybell. Prosecution's closing arguments. Defense closing arguments coming up next. Followed by the rebuttal as we continue to sit here and wait for the jury to come back with their decision. Will it be tonight? We will have to find out. We'll bring it to you as soon as it comes down here on the Hidden Killers Podcast Network.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
I can't tell you how often I hear, oh, I'm a little OCD. I like things neat. That's not OCD. I'm Howie Mandel, and I know this because I have OCD. Actual OCD causes relentless unwanted thoughts. What if I did something terrible and forgot? What if I'm a bad person? Why am I thinking this terrible thing? It makes you question absolutely everything, and you'll do anything to feel better. OCD is debilitating, but it's also highly treatable with the right kind of therapy. Regular talk talk therapy doesn't cut it. OCD needs specialized therapy. That's why I want to tell you about NoCD. NoCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for OCD. Their licensed therapists provide specialized therapy virtually, and it's covered by insurance for over 155 million Americans. If you think you might be struggling with OCD, visit NoCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call and learn more. That's NoCD.com.